Welcome to Take Back. The universe loves to laugh here at Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM or worldwide, radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Barbara McVeigh. We got big things to talk about here on Take Back, and we have an agenda. As our planet faces global climate change, melting polar ice caps, and ocean acidification, we like to remain positive. There's hope. We're still alive. Here at Take Back, we plan to get deep into understanding our current challenges and ask big questions about what does it mean to be human. So, my first big question is this. If we are dealing with such big global environmental problems, a direct result of our behaviors, isn't it a good time to ask what we are being taught and what we are teaching? Maybe we don't have it right. Each Tuesday at noon here on Take Back, we will have thinkers, poets, writers, educators, musicians, and environmentalists help us get it right and navigate this crazy journey called life. Maybe we'll get inspired to make some big changes and we'll have fun and laugh. Today on Take Back, we have a very special guest, Dan Fontes. He's an artist and community activist and more. He recently completed restoration of giraffe murals in Oakland, California, zebras last year, and people are talking. One fan of his says this about Dan. Original art in the community can make otherwise distant issues real for people. Dan Fontes is brilliant in his ability to use beauty to point to issues without being didactic. Welcome, Dan Fontes.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
Oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
I have to give it away. I have known you for a few years, and you are one. I'm one of your fans, actually.
Aww. Well, thanks.
I've learned from you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and let's just jump in. So, thanks.
Yeah. You've been painting.
I've been painting a little. This year is actually my busiest year ever. I think I've done 6 projects, and it's May.
Wow.
I'm in the middle of the 6th project. I think I just locked in the 7th project for a little daycare center. We're going to go back to the daycare center in North Oakland and paint more giraffes on it over on 60th Street. So that's pretty cool. And, I'm just finishing up. Well, I'm about 3/4 done with a commission for Life Chiropractic College West in Hayward out on Industrial Boulevard. They have a little museum there, and so we're doing some murals for them.
And we're talking not small murals. I mean, we're not talking about small giraffes. These are pretty large works of art.
Yeah, giraffics, which I painted originally in 1983, some of the giraffes are as high as 32 feet. And in real life, giraffes only get to be about 19 feet, but since mainly you're viewing the giraffes from a distance, these have to be bigger, otherwise they'll look too small, from your car. And this is what I always think of as 2-second art. You know, it's like, oh God, there's a giraffe where there should be no giraffe.
Because this is right by a freeway.
Yeah.
Freeway overpass.
Yeah, it's 580 at Harrison and Oakland Avenue, MacArthur Boulevard. And, in a way, it's like there's just no reason for these to be there. And so, and that's kind of the fun of it, the surrealist, imaginative part that I get a big kick out of, because they, and now they've been there so long, for whatever that is, 34 years or what have you. They've kind of become this thing. They've kind of taken on a life of their own. So they were getting pretty ratty last year. I was looking at them, and some of the legs were just completely gone, just decayed. So I went back in and had to rebuild them and take all the dirt off and all the grime. And it's a pretty rough little area underneath there. So they came back, yeah. And then it was so funny. I'm up on the scaffolding one day, and this lady comes by, and she's got her dog, and she says, here's some water, and oh, here's an energy bar, and here's my name, and hey, where do you go to the bathroom? And I'm like, that's actually a difficult issue, because there is no bathroom. Sometimes I have to get in the truck and go, up to Piedmont Avenue and find a restaurant, and it's like, and it takes me a half hour, and it's like, so you got to plan it out, and she goes, well, here's the key to my basement downstairs unit. And I'm like, oh my God, you're kidding. And she's like, yeah, and I live in this house that's like right next to the... Anyway, she ends up wanting a giraffe on the side of her house. And so I painted another giraffe that goes along with Giraffics. And then, you know, there was a corner market down the street called Vernon Market. And, you know, I talked to the people in there and they're like, yeah, we'd love to have a giraffe. You know, that'd be great. And I'm like, seriously? And they're like, yeah, completely. You know, and they're like, can you repaint this and refaint? And I'm like, no, I just want to put another giraffe because it's like a block away from the rest of the giraffe. You know, and there's like nine of them. I think there's 8 or 9. And so, you know, I went in there with 3 days with 2 other assistants and we just punched it out and got it done. And what I love about them is that they're just mysterious. And people who know me might think of my name or something, but they're really kind of meant to be a mystery. You know, like, what are these doing there? And, you know, and I have never commercially exploited these things in any way, you know, because I wanted to keep it kind of like really quiet, you know, and just that's, you know, they are what they are, you know. And so over the years, I've heard all these incredible stories from people naming each giraffe. And there's this Chinese lady once who came by and she's like, yeah, every time we go by the kids, you know, they yell out long neck deer, you know, about in Chinese, you know, and as we're going by. And but there's all these really hilarious, amazing stories about people who have somehow they have a personal giraffe connection and they've made it theirs. And, you know, and it's not like I could have intended any of that. It just kind of sprung forth because I think people were looking for meaning. And so they gave it some,
wow.
You know, you know, like there's a nonviolent healing center or something right nearby. And their mascot is the giraffe because the giraffes have the biggest hearts of any animal, like pound for pound on the planet, you know, like proportionally. You know, because they have to have that big heart to pump blood all the way up that giant neck, you know,
right.
To their head. And so, but yeah, I mean, I could literally go on for probably 15, 20 minutes about just all these people, you know, like I was talking about Anushka and her giraffes in the back seat.
Well, you have to tell the story. You told me before the show. This is a great story.
I know. So there's a lady with a daycare center, right? And I used to be her neighbor. And then she started a daycare center. And, you know, we kind of lost touch for many years. And she would go to flea markets and garage sales, and whenever she'd see a giraffe stuffy, a little toy stuffy, she'd buy it and she'd put it in the back seat. So she pulls up at the giraffes one day and she goes, "Hey, come look in the back of my Volvo," you know. And I walk up and she's got a cream Volvo. And I look in the back seat and it's stuffed full of like giraffe seat covers and giraffe toys. And she's like, "Yeah, whenever any of the kids get really upset, I just go, hey, come pick out a giraffe." You know, and it somehow takes the edge off the upset.
That's amazing.
Which is just so funny. But now she's commissioned me to do a giraffe on the outside of her daycare center. And so we put a giraffe mother and giraffe baby, kind of around the time that April was having her live birth on the internet.
Right.
So anyway, that was another one. And so.
Right. What can we learn from that? It's time to have big hearts.
Well,
right?
And also, you know, people do not take their houses and property so seriously. Like, I better have the perfect manicured lawn and, you know, and I better look good to the neighbors. It's like, and, you know, and here she put this big, this awkward giraffe on the outside of her house. And it just kind of blows out the neighborhood, right? And so I'm talking to some of the other neighbors and they're like, yeah, man, I'm thinking about putting a flamingo on my house, you know.
Oh,
I'm
I
like,
love
okay,
it.
Okay, you know, don't be surprised when a rhino shows up, like, down the street. And they're like, yeah, we can turn this whole thing into, like, the zoo neighborhood. And I'm like, I like the way this is going, you know. Because I see, like, lots of artists getting employment from people, like, not taking their houses so seriously. Like, hey, you know what? It's paint. Go over it. You don't like it? Try a bird. Try a penguin or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Just kind of lighten up about it a little bit.
Good advice.
Because people have to live here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like, you know, and that's kind of like my guiding philosophy is like, we have to live in this stuff that we built, right? And it's all empty and nothing on it and blank walls. And like, let's have some fun.
I love it. That's good advice. Let's have some fun.
It's sane advice, you know.
Yeah.
Because our kids have to be here. And they've gotta like cope with it and make sense of it and play with it. We don't want our kids not being imaginative, right? So put that UFO on your house. Put your own portrait on. Who knows? But, you know, just have a good time with it. And like I said, it's paint. So it's, you know, it doesn't have to remain forever. And it can. You can have them restore it and repaint it. You know, if people really fall in love with your giant bouquet of tulips or whatever, you know, you can bring it back and however many years.
You know, it's funny you're talking this way, and I live in Fairfax, and there are a lot of very creative neighbors who've done some great things with their houses. And sometimes my son and I, we will just bicycle around the neighborhood to look at the fun. Somebody created a fence using old skis.
I know that house. Yeah, right? In fact, Polly at the store down, you know, the Main Street merchant there on the Main Street, she's like, "You got to go buy the house with the skis." And it's not just the skis. I mean, that house is like kind of legendary, right?
Right.
You know, and you can just stand there in front of that house and just like look and look and look and look.
It's like a museum almost of items.
It is.
A collection
of
whatever this person has found in his life. And you marvel at it. And there's somebody else who created a fence with movable words. So it's like a living poetry on his fence, and invites anyone just to create poetry on the fence.
There was a guy in the city, and he put a... what was his name? I used to know his name. Anyway, he put a phone booth with a Superman coming out of the phone booth in front of his house. I mean, in amongst all this other stuff. And it was just so like, oh, what a relief, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of, that, you know, you need that kind of visual relief, you know?
Well, as an artist, I mean, the giraffe murals, for example, how did you get paid for that? I mean, I hear how hard it is for artists to survive. How are you doing it?
Right. There used to be a program in Oakland. It's called OCD. No, really, it was the Office of Community Development. And they would have these block grant funds, and through different conversations you have with people, somebody's like, "Oh yeah, you know, they're giving away money. People do murals in the community." And I'm like, okay, you know, I'll try to do that. So I applied. And then it's so funny, the night when they were granting the awards or making up their minds, there's like seven people. My friend Naomi was one of the people on the commission. And I'm up there, and I'm kind of like shaking, nervous. You know, this is 1983, and I'm like 25 years old. And they're like, where are you going with this? You know, why giraffes? And, you know, and they're asking me all the right questions, and they take a vote, and they vote 4-3 against the project. And so I walk out in the hallway, and I'm just shattered. I'm like, you know, now what? You know, and I didn't know. And I just had this thought, like, go back in there and just like, because originally the proposal was like for 16 giraffes for a certain amount of money. And I said, so I walked back in, and I go, well, how about half the giraffes for half the money? And there was this moment of confusion, because I was interrupting the meeting, and they're like, oh, I'm not sure. And so they're like, I just go, is it okay if we just re-vote? And they're like, okay, well, how about that? And it flipped from 4-3 to 3-4.
That's
in
awesome.
Favor.
Wow.
It was just this defining moment. You know, for my life anyway, because I was like thinking, you know, it had already been 9 months to that point of all the administrative hoo-ha that they put you through, all the hoops they make you jump through. And I just thought, this is either going to work or it's going to fail. And then, you know, I got the thumbs up, and they gave me the check. And then the community really didn't know what to do with it for about 2 years. It was barely in the paper, no references. People wouldn't say anything. It was like people were making up their mind for a long time. And then suddenly after that 2 year period, it was like, okay, these are ours. These are a thing. It's okay. We've accepted it. And it was just like this collective, yeah, they're actually pretty okay, you know, but people had to like, just kind of, it just felt like there was this grappling going on. So I was so
new kid on the block. It took time.
There's something happened here, and we're not quite sure.
Right.
But the next year, despite the lack of reception, I went ahead and painted zebras, and I was going to do, I was going to paint hippos, and I was just going to keep them going on the freeway, the elephant, and after a couple of years, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, I put all this work into it, and it was like I wasn't really getting too much feedback, so it's like this is either getting really big, really good, fast, or it's not, and you know, without the feedback, you know, it was kind of like, I better slow it up here. And so I went on to other projects. But yeah, I've been doing murals for 36 years now, mainly around the Bay Area, and I've probably worked on something around 400 different projects, also assisting other artists whose work, you know, that I would like, or I would, you know, talk to people.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been my main activity, you know.
Yeah, raising money for these efforts, though, like, and that's not easy.
Well, and keeping myself going, too. I don't want to put out the illusion that, you know, I'm just, like, full-time, that this has always been my thing, and because it hasn't, you know, I've had to paint houses, and I worked for a fiber optic company. We made these big fiber optic lights that went on display in Vegas at trade shows and stuff, and I was the art director for a while, and, and you try to make the best of it, and the insight that I got from doing that was apply artistic skills and as best you can to what you're doing, even though you can't be doing what you want to do, like all the time. But I've moved it up now. It's like my full-time thing, and this year is fantastic. I mean, just I've been contacted by a lot of people. I think because of the notoriety of the GoFundMe.
Which you use to raise your funds for this project, too.
Right, yeah, with the zebras and then with the giraffes. And both have just brought in enormous amounts of publicity, you can't be that kind of, like, person-to-person public. I mean, when people are, like, voting with their dollars, sending it online, it builds in this constituency of people who are, like, they're passionate about it, you know, to the point where they get out their money and their credit card or whatever, and they contribute. And so my massive thanks to the 350 people who donated to the zebras and the 150 or so who've so far contributed to the giraffe coming back. And, I want to keep pushing the giraffes, keep those going, and spread that out. So it becomes kind of the giraffe neighborhood and a giraffe district. And people go through there and they're like, find the giraffes on the houses, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, it kind of becomes a game, too. So anyway, I look forward to that. Yeah, there's a business in Oakland. They're looking at it right now, kind of down in the avenues. And, you know, my only criteria is Oakland. Specifically, I'd like to be in the Harrison Oakland Avenue neighborhood district at 580. But anyway, and that's, you know,
and you're from Oakland, too. This is probably.
Yeah, yeah. No, I grew up in Oakland. Actually, I grew up in a block within Piedmont, which is completely surrounded by Oakland. Piedmont's a little island. I was a block inside Piedmont, and just the family joke is we were in Baja Piedmont. We weren't really in Piedmont. We weren't, like, you know, have the house up on the hill. We had, like, the house down in the valley, and so it just became this kind of funny thing. But anyway, yeah, I grew up near Lake Merritt and the Grand Lake Theater. I went to Grand Lake Theater when I was a kid and Quickway, and you know, yeah, I'm fully in Oakland, and at the same time, after living for 17 years and live work in Oakland, I needed a break. And Julie and I moved on to the houseboat, which I think, did you go to the houseboat in Sausalito?
I didn't know you in the houseboat days. Now, I understand from other people who were part of those houseboat days that you guys had, right. I mean, it was like a legacy that you built, where you had house concerts, you had a following.
Yeah,
we're talking about the Sausalito houseboats.
Right, we were in ADOC, Gate 6 Road. We were in the Alpha, the very first houseboat on the dock. And, sometimes we would have so many people in the boat. And this is like a two-story Craftsman home with a big basement. So it was actually three stories. But we'd have houseboats so big sometimes, like such a big audience, you know, like 50-plus people, that the entire houseboat would tilt. And, you know, I'd go outside and I'd look, you know, just to be safe, you know. And the kind of the ass end of the houseboat would rise up out of the water.
Wow.
And you'd see the water line, like 2 or 3 inches coming up. And I'm like, okay.
And why were these people at your houseboat?
You know, I was kind of going on this business, kind of not a business plan, because, you know, we never made any money on these. We always gave it to the musicians. But in my mind, it was like, I had a bunch of arcade games in there. I had my art on display. So it was kind of like an art gallery. It was partially an arcade. It was on a houseboat, and it's a concert, right? So it was like a little bit of everything. So people would get distracted, and because, you know, you're so socially tight. The joke there was like, you know, pass out the Vaseline, because, you know, we have to cram more people in this thing, right? And we had a really great time. And occasionally it might have been a little unsafe, but in general, we had incredible talent coming in there, and sometimes twice a month.
And you'd be supporting artists financially, giving them.
That's right.
You guys became an institution out there, from what I understand.
We got a very good reputation. I you know, my inspiration for that was Joey Lent at Strings in North Oakland, who has an ongoing house concert series, on and on and on. You know, the guy is like a house concert god. And he knows, like, he kind of knows all the formulas and how to make the music sound its best acoustically, and how to, you know, how to make contact with people. And so, yeah, we've done house concerts for 15 years, something like that. I mean, well over 100 shows, and have met incredible musicians traveling all around the United States. You know, have made friends, like lifelong friends with people, and not to name names, but I mean, you know, we've had a really great time doing that activity, and just kind of like sowing the seeds of our community back into each other. And we're kind of like on hiatus right now. And we're looking at getting another license from Folk Arts Alliance. I think we're going to do that, and hopefully we'll bring the shows back. But we're going to ask you to be our partner.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
And so, yeah.
Love
good.
To. Okay, yeah. Good. Another thing to do. I'd love to, especially if it supports artists.
Because you have nothing going on.
Nothing at all.
I know. And, you know, and part of you is like, I want to talk to her about her book and interview you and really pin you down and ask you questions about Reagan, you know?
Ronald Reagan, my
and,
friend,
yeah,
yes.
Your best friend. And, you know, and it's so tempting to go off in that direction.
But, oh, believe me, it is. But this is about you and your art and what you're doing, because you are doing so much. And we were also just talking about how many artists are just exploding right now with their work. Right? I mean, it's like something is happening out there with music. And
there's a lot of people commissioning work. And I think there's an awareness that people need the healing of real art. And so it's a good time, you know, and like virtually everybody I know is like, they're doing their stuff. Or, I mean, I've never seen a year like this before.
Well,
and I'm not giving any credit to you-know-who. I'm just saying.
Like, understood.
Know, yeah.
Well,
I think people, it's like they need a Band-Aid, you know, for all the soul shredding that's going on right now, and all the horror that's out there right now. It's never been a worse time too.
Right.
So.
Right.
Anyway,
and I mean, a lot of the artists I know, they're just really coming together, because that's the power we have right now is coming together.
Yep.
We've been so disconnected. We're realigning ourselves and thinking, gosh, what can we do together? And art is one of those ways of bringing community together, just like you were sharing, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Through music, the universal language.
Yeah.
This is the time to support artists.
It is.
It's the biggest time, I think.
It really is. And, you know, to me, it's always been like, is the culture ever going to flip into a different kind of culture where it's like art first and us as neighborhoods first? And I was talking to my assistant yesterday, who was just saying, you know, there's neighborhoods in South America, you know, where we do, you know, like they have carnival and they're celebrating, you know, like in Rio, there's, and each neighborhood has its own song. And I'm like, well, that's what we need here.
Yeah.
We need neighborhoods to like come up with your neighborhood song. And then be proud of it, you know, instead of this like kind of like, well, I moved in there for 2 years and then I had to get out and go to Massachusetts or whatever, wherever you go, you know, and I'd love to see, you know, like just specific neighborhoods like throughout the Bay Area really come up with their own identity music.
Right.
You know, I mean, wouldn't that be great?
That
just like
would
I,
be so I much
know.
Fun. You could get on your bike and go neighborhood to neighborhood.
And
it's almost like
them.
From country to country, because.
Right.
Right.
Right. I mean, to build in that kind of like identity and that kind of. Not loyalty, that's not the right word, but just that kind of like, this is me, this is a part of me. These are the people I know.
You're reminding me of a little story. I met with this film director, Beryl Crone, last week. He's done a lot of work with jazz musicians and so forth. And we were talking about education, because he does a lot of work with schools and music. He's a trumpet player. And he was saying, you know, I learned something really valuable. I'd go into these classrooms and I'd play a really simple tune on my trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have the students get on the trumpet and play something.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them would want to play after I played a song.
Mm.
Then I went back and I wouldn't play anything. I would just have them immediately come on and do something themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they would, and they would be excited about it. And it was like, if you create something like a standard, and this is what he said, everyone feels that they have to measure to it rather than just coming into it themselves mm-hmm. and what they already possess, which is right. beautiful,
yeah.
right? They just don't have the confidence in themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I wonder
about
that.
That would be difficult to go up against, you know, here's this person who's like, you know, they're kind of like a lifelong professional musician and you're supposed to like do your little toot and it's like, whoa.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I could see getting kind of worried about that.
So we kind of measure ourselves to these others when we already have the diversity and the fun and those UFOs on the house. I mean, that could cause
I'm
a fun party.
I got scaffold. You want a UFO? You give me.
I'd love to have a UFO.
Okay, don't say it too many times. I'll come over. Be like, what's going on out there?
I mean, I think we're already pretty spacey anyway. I mean, you know, one of the things that your giraffe mural has done for a lot of people, even including me, because I saw it, and then I started to see your lens opens up to the giraffe world. And then suddenly I started seeing feeds about what's going on in Africa. And I already know what's going on with the rhinoceroses and other tusk animals, which right now it's, what, 10 years based on the poaching and environmental issues that they're dealing with that we actually have these wild animals on our planet.
Yep.
Wild animals. I mean, it's devastating.
But
giraffes are actually headed to possibly to the endangered list at this because of U.S. trophy hunting is one of the causes. There are others, there are some other things too, but
there's habitat loss. It's,
yes.
You know, people eat them. I mean, you know, because, you know, they need some kind of food source for their family.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do? I mean,
right.
You know, it's not some simple solution. But yeah, I mean, sometimes they even kill them just for their tails, just because it becomes a trophy. And they leave the whole animal. They just take the tail. It's just, you've got to be kidding. I mean.
And in my little world, I thought the whole trophy hunting was a bit past its age, but it's still alive and well.
No. You can,
right.
Yeah, it's you know, to me, unfortunately, for the natural world, it's alive and thriving. You know, and I just throw up my hands. I'm like, you know, what kind of a planet are you leaving, you know, the kids that you find so precious? You know, are you going to leave part of the magic for them? You know, because to me, that's what, you know, in a way, that's kind of like why I paint the animals, you know, is because to me, it's a really good idea to have humans in some kind of contact, even if it's just in two-dimensional form. You know, it's good to have people remembering, like, oh, yeah, animals, you know, when you're in a non-animal situation, like driving on the highway, you know, and just to have that little moment where your brain goes, oh yeah, sea turtles. Wow. You know, I remember those, you know, when I went to Hawaii or whatever, you know, or I saw them at the zoo and yeah, they're beautiful. Or I was at Monterey Bay Aquarium. Oh, I saw the seals there and, you know, or what, you know, whatever it is. You know, I think it's like a healthy thing for your brain to have this kind of other diet other than building freeway, building. Gas station, building, you know, it's just, you know, to me, it's mind-numbing that we can collectively live the way we do, you know, just with the lack of visual interestingness that we all have to collectively endure. And I kind of put that at the feet of architects and even Caltrans. You know, love you, Caltrans, but you know what? You left a bunch of unfinished highways throughout our land, and if you put up a house and you didn't paint it, it'd be odd, you know, if you just left like the stucco there or some unfinished surface and people and your neighbors would be like, you know, you better do something about that. And so, and why do we give these agencies like a hall pass? You know, it's strange to me that, and I think it's cause you know, we all just have like so much going on and, you know, and there's so many like, yeah, I know. There's bigger crises than a paint job on a freeway, but that doesn't diminish the importance or the collective positiveness that could take place. And you know, if things were a little bit more finished off. And anyway, it brings up so many other issues, you know. But
you're listening to Dan Fontes, artist and community
rant
activist,
and rave and go on and on.
Who's ranting and raving and giving great advice. Honestly, it's what we need to be talking about. These are the kind of conversations, and
well,
that's
yeah,
why I'm doing this show.
Yeah,
it's
no,
really
yeah, yeah,
to
yeah.
tease
no,
out
it's,
these
it's,
issues.
It's the subtle things. You know, everybody thinks, oh, it's gangs and it's graffiti. And it's like, no, you know what? It's you know, also there are issues like other people handle, you know, immigration. Yeah, it's a giant issue. Yeah. But there are smaller, quieter issues kind of in the shadows, you know, like losing our collective historical heritage, you know, losing our architectural heritage, seniors being neglected. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of other things, and they don't get, like, you know, the big play, but they're just as critical to
me. And these are really right in our neighborhoods. I mean, these are things that our own communities can come together to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's so many, you know, from education to, I mean, just there's so many issues. You know, like you had this great post the other day on Facebook where you're talking about if I was president, you know, and all these things came up for me. It was like, yeah, absolutely. I was just like, I was so proud of you. I was like, yes, you should be president, and these should be the issues, and these should be the priorities. And, you know, and I'm sitting there just reeling in my head going like, yes, this and this and this and this, you know, go, you know, Mama Gaia, go. No.
We have,
you know,
to recreate ourselves. All of us need to. And, you know, it's really funny you say that, because before I posted that, I thought, like, who am I to say this about myself?
No, you're legitimate. You're a citizen, too.
Well, and that's it. We've all kind of placed ourselves in these small roles. Small roles is another word for it, but that we could not possibly be this when all of us can be in one way or another, and speak loudly, speak boldly, you know, say what you feel, say what you want to say.
I know.
It's good, you know, and that changes other people. And
this brings up my previous conversation about, I'm so proud of you taking radio on, because you can do anything with radio. And it's like, okay, you know, okay, out there in the listening audience, okay, let's all just close our eyes and, like, we're going to pretend that we're very small, and now I'm going to climb inside of Barbara's ear. Hey, Barbara, come with me inside of your ear. Now, it sounds funny, but, you know, you can all imagine it, right? Okay, now that we're inside of Barbara's ear, how does she listen to the world? And see how the silly gets you to the profound.
Yes.
Because you listen to the world like no other person. And the, you know, and my imagination says Barbara has a compassionate ear. You know? I mean, not just a compassionate heart, but the way she hears things is, and, you know, and then when you get to know you, and, you know, I mean, that's a pretty big deal, you know.
Thank you.
Like, you know, let's climb inside Barbara's mouth, right? Kind of like, let's all go in.
You don't want to be there all the time.
Well, not all the time, but just for the moment. You know, like, okay, you know, it's like, it's a lot softer in there. It's you know, and, well, how does she speak? You know, now that we're in here, you climb in there too, okay?
Right,
move your tongue over to the left a little bit. And you can see, you know, you can see, okay, yeah, you know, but on the radio, you can do that, and it's fun, and it's legitimate, but once you get in there, it's like, how does she talk to the world? Mm. And, wow. It totally changes your perspective.
Well, you know where I got inspired? Who inspired me? Ronald Reagan. That's how he started his career.
Ah.
It all goes back to Reagan.
No! Leave him outside. Let's all in our imaginations collectively push something off a cliff.
You got to take something good from him. I'm sorry. You know,
I
banter
right,
a lot
right.
on that one. But, it's not, and it's funny that you say that, because it's like, you know, what you were saying earlier, it's like what you're doing with the freeways, really. I mean, it's an eyesore,
and
you're creating something good out of it. You're using that platform. Like, what can I create
from
this?
And it's like, you know,
and
all
you're
these,
doing it.
Right. And all these people have, like, come to me over the years. I mean, you know, and to me, in my mind, it was only like, all I need to get to is one person, and you've changed the world.
Yes.
And, you know, and people have come to me over the years, over and over, I became a mural painter because of you. I'm like, how much more profound of a change can you get from, like, a guy who's maybe going to be, like, an orthodontist specialist? And it's like, and now I paint murals, and now he's affecting young people.
And isn't that a validation of your own life? If you can change the life of one person, I heard this said.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
One person, you've lived a good life, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I
feel very settled. I mean, I've taught tens of thousands of kids, you know, like in the Oakland Public Schools and around, and, you know, and we took stuff over to Japan and China many years ago, and art over there, and teaching classes. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, to me, it's like, you know, my life is complete. I don't have to worry about, you know, did I make a difference or not? It's like, I did, you know, and a lot, you know, and I know that's a very privileged thing to be able to say, because hardly any, you know, in a way, you know, I look around, I'm like, well, what did you do with your life, you know? And I know it's really complex, and people live these long lives, and you never really know, you know, how people affect other people. But, you know, I'm just saying, I feel really good about, you know, the choices that I've made. That it was a good trajectory to be on. And yeah, a lot of pain sometimes, and you know, but you know, now at this point, I'm like, just what a great thing. I mean, I get to sit here and hang out with you on the radio. I mean,
we're
that's
in
pretty
a
good.
Behind a locked door in a padded room. Right. I have to remind you of that. I feel very sane in here. Pretty much. Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I mean, there's so many issues that are rising right now. And, you know, and artists, they are the healers. They're the ones who help us see ourselves. That's how some people describe it, a way of expressing what's important, a way to get us talking about important issues, how to break the ice through humor. That's another one. I was listening to a musician at a coffee shop yesterday, like 7 o'clock in the morning. He comes in, goes into his corner, plays the guitar. He's singing a lot of political stuff these days. I'm not sure where he's getting that fodder, but he's,
sure,
you know, and it was great music. And I was just thinking of how much that guy in the corner is affecting me, you know, and I'm stopping and I'm listening to him sing about real life issues, about feelings, about love, about loss, about all these things that we kind of, in our rat race, are forgetting, you know, and we're so bent on getting to the top of the mountain. And what is that top of the mountain? And we're taking that straight road to it because that's how we've been taught. You know, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do in life.
Yeah. Strive.
Enjoy.
Is there some enjoy? Is that okay?
I mean, I would like to be sitting by that house with the UFO painted on it, you know, with my friends listening to music in the corner of our neighborhood.
I'm seeing me paint it.
Oh, good.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, wouldn't that be?
Couldn't we bring our name? Well, this is interesting. I mean, you're here in San Rafael, did a little film a few years ago about the ocean. It was filmed out here on San Pablo Bay. And I had these kids go around to people in our community to ask where San Pablo Bay is. Adults. They were to ask adults where San Pablo is.
Yeah.
You would never believe how many people did not know where it was. And I'm not kidding. This is profound. It was 5 miles down the road, San Pablo Bay.
Yeah.
To me, you know, the kids got this before I did even. They would come up to me and say, I can't believe people don't know where this is. It's just down the street. You know, and that kind of goes back to your thoughts about community. We've lost that network of communities of our own identity.
Yeah,
and it can go way down to that simple, you know, within blocks of.
Yeah, right. Why isn't that important enough to just like be able to like instantly point, it's over there, 5 miles, you'll hit it. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Are we taking?
Myself and my friend Lana, we took these children to China and Japan, kids who'd never been out of Oakland. And I'll never forget, we got up in the plane and they were like, what is that? You know, and they realized it's the bay. Like in the airplane, you're looking down, and it's like, well, what is that? That's the ocean, you know. And they had no idea because they grew up like in a 5-block radius area they never get out of, you know. And I mean, to me, that's that same kind of profound thing. How can you not know that there's a bridge that connects Oakland to San Francisco? I mean, how can you just not know that? But everybody's got to be taught and got to have patience. But, you know, it was just kind of mind-blowing. You know, to us present, you know, we're here, you know, we're presenting an arts program and they're getting a geography lesson.
Right.
You know,
right.
So.
I used to take inner city kids, Oakland kids, Berkeley kids out sailing on the bay.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just amazing. They had never been to the bay.
Right.
It's the same story.
Right.
They just never been out of their own.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, to see a switch in them where a fear to enlightenment. You know, and some of the hardest kids, and the captain, Captain Richard Gillette, you know him. He would always pick the toughest, the meanest kid. These kids have been beat up in their life. Living and surviving in their neighborhoods. He put them at the helm, and there would be this immediate switch of you just saw the light behind their eyes, and they would just put a smile on their face.
That is so great.
God, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I lived for that. I really did. And the art's much that same way, too.
It
just
is.
Bringing
joy and life.
It is. Well, it's also putting the control, and you know, it's like, here, take the steering wheel, take it, you know, take it with your art. You know, it's like, wait, you know, we'd make paper, and you know, wait, I can do this. I can put little sticks in there, and you know, yeah, just anything you want. You can put leaves. You can, you know, and give them. You know, well, where are you going to put it within that piece of paper? And it's like, well, I say it's going to be here. So yeah, it's kind of humbling and gratifying. You know, you're just, you know, part of you is like, you know, the adult you is going, like, they really don't know this yet.
And right.
Well, what if they hadn't had art classes? Like, God, you know, they're going to become adults who don't know where San Pablo Bay is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know?
Right. And when we're dealing with like global issues, I mean, San Pablo Bay, it's, you know, it's pretty messy there.
Yeah.
It's got silt issues. It's got mercury issues. There's a quarry there. Across the way is a refinery. That's probably why nobody knows about it, is because that's, you know, you just don't want to look at it.
Well,
but
you get
should be looking
so,
at it.
Exactly. You get people just so, like, you know, in the rat race that you were talking about earlier, you know, and they're just like so focused on like, I got to get my bills and this is important. And, you know, and then they forget that those other things exist. They have a life. They have their mysteries. You know, to get people to lose interest in it. It's
You've served on a lot of boards.
I'm so glad you said that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Talking about volunteer and
yeah.
community efforts, right. And so forth. I know you've served on a lot of different boards.
Yeah, I think it's 8 or 9 or 10 now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
East Bay Depot and Pro Arts and Pacific Pinball right now, and
which is in Alameda, the Pacific
Pinball Museum. Yeah, I've been on their board for many years.
It's a fun place.
It's a super fun place.
Wow.
And just great events, great people, and the machines. And now the collection is up to like 1,500 machines around
pinball. I mean, these
and
are not just pinball machines. These are
pinball,
like,
you know,
some of the most original.
It's original.
Old
it's original
pieces
old,
of and art,
and you know, and it's America. You know, it's American identity. If you want to talk about the history part of it,
yeah.
And you get to see how homeless people used to be seen through the eyes of 1963. And, you know, they called it vagabond, you know, and there's a word you don't hear much. But that was, you know, it was kind of like, oh, the old vagabond. Ha ha ha. It's like, yeah, not so funny. But, you know, now I'm seeing it through today's perspective where it's like a massive crisis.
Oh, big time.
And people are throwing around these, you know, people still aren't getting, like, it's going to take a human-to-human contact to really solve this thing, like, once and for all. It's not going to take a navigation center, you know. It's going to take a human being, like, face-to-face with people helping other people.
Yeah.
You know, like your solution from the other day, you know, let's take somebody out to lunch and just go, you know, have a conversation. And
yeah, and it's interesting how sometimes, like, you know, I'm in a small community and you know who the homeless people are, and you create a relationship with them.
Yes, you do.
And then you know that they're human. You understand their backstory. They're not evil. They're not bad. They're probably going through a hard time, or they've had a hard time.
For the most part, they're very meek and keep to themselves. I mean, that's been my, you know, because I've spent a lot of time on the streets and I've talked to a lot of people. And every once in a while, somebody's there by choice, but please don't make that a blanket thing, you know. And some people are just, you know, they've lost it, you know, and they need like an entire family of people to help them come back and to be a functional human being again, or maybe not, and just to have compassion, you know, directed toward somebody just because they are a human being. And, I mean, but getting back to the nonprofit conversation, you know, I'm also very proud to be associated with the Rock, Paper, Scissor Gallery Collective.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. They're really into kind of the make it culture and showing teenagers and young people new skills and opening up new ideas and business ideas, and yeah, you can make clothes, and yeah, you can present the things you make, a magazine, they call them zines, you know. And unfortunately, due to the whole gentrification issue, Rock Paper Scissors was like forced out of its location in 23rd and Telegraph. You know, the rents were rising. We're going to reopen in late 2018 once again. And in the meantime, we're presenting tons of programs, and we've got a huge fundraiser coming up June 3rd called Rosham Bonanza. And that's going to be a classic Cars West, which I'm very, very proud of, very happy to see, you know, like there's still enormous interest. And there's going to be like 50 artists there presenting their work and doing live painting and all kinds of fun stuff, you know. So come on down. I'm going to be there making popcorn because that's what I do.
Wonderful.
Know? Yeah. Yeah. So I get a kid. I've got a big popcorn machine at the house. I own a bunch of pinball machines. And I like a bunch. Yeah, you could say a bunch.
I think it's an understatement,
well,
but.
Well, that's been my history, is picking up old games for a couple hundred bucks, putting a little work into it and flipping it and paying a bill.
Wow.
You know, so because, you know, as an artist, I've historically had to like keep myself going with a patchwork quilt of income sources, you know. And so when young people come to me and they're like, how do you make it? It's like, you get scrappy and you make it whatever way. And, you know, and that's what I could do back then, you know, so I did. And I've owned over 1,000 machines and, you know, and have sold like 920 of them.
And sharing know, them up. Too with events, community.
And sharing those, yeah. And events. We have a second Saturday of the month thing that we have at our house, and people come in and play the games and
yeah,
and the arcade games and the payphone and the, you know,
jukeboxes just got, that you have
and the jukeboxes
too,
and
which
play
are
them
so much fun.
They're total
right?
fun. Yeah, I know. I made one that was like all 1980s music. You know, which, you know, usually you go into the diner and it's got all 50s hits and there's Chuck Berry. And this is like all, you know, Michael Jackson and Madonna and Prince and, you know, and just, you know, the stuff right. that you would hear from that other era. So it's we've had a really good time. And again, you know, you can pick these things up. And if you're like at all a little bit mechanical, you can get them going again. And you know, and then people come in and they, you know, you sit there and watch your friends dance around, you know. It's cute.
I love it.
It is.
I love it.
Yeah.
And we have an artist, Lyle Harris, coming in about 2 weeks, and she's a paper artist. She's going to be giving a talk in San Francisco. And it's interesting mm-hmm. how, well, like radio, like paper arts, mm-hmm. old record, LPs are coming back. A lot of the
yeah.
old school things
I
are.
I love old technology. I totally
right?
do. I have a big collection of like 45s. And now you have to explain, okay, a 45 RPM record, meaning the record went around 45 times in 1 minute. And
oh, I didn't know that. Really?
Really?
I didn't know.
Oh, no!
I just called it a 45.
It's a 45, yeah.
Why no, didn't I ever ask that?
Right. You know, and that's why a 33 goes at a slower speed. You know, it goes around 33 times. But yeah, I'm like, but you know, me and my work, I'm totally into old photography and, you know, and I've got like 6 suitcases full of photos that I've taken. And this, in fact, this phone, look at this.
It's got,
I'll show you.
So this is a iPhone that we're looking at, right?
Yeah, and yeah, I'm going to go into photos.
And he's going to go into photos.
Read that number there.
I can't read it. 8,237.
In my phone.
Photos. In your phone.
So, I know.
It's like a garage.
I know, right? And I carry it around because, you know, photos are so important to me.
Yeah.
The, you know, the history yeah. and the memories and, yeah.
Do you get overwhelmed at all by all of the content and
constantly.
I'm on a flip phone in order
to,
not to take manic yeah. photos like I know I could on
right.
a day-to-day basis and then go home and it feels like I'm cleaning out my garage again. I lived in a house with a big garage and I know those mm-hmm. it just builds up and
yeah.
it takes over your life.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
and that's my own problem. Not everybody has this problem, but that's why I don't have a garage anymore. But
no, I mean, life totally overwhelms me all the time and I have taken to my therapist is a journal, and it has been since the 1980s, and I try to write 3 pages 3 days a week as a kind of a discipline thing, and I just let my mind barf onto the paper, and here, that's all down on paper there, so now I can, if I really need it, you know, I can go back in and I can find it, and that's been actually super helpful sometimes, but anyway, getting off course, but
yeah.
But it's related.
Well, it's all expression. It's all art. It's all about releasing, using your
and
voice.
Yeah, and it helps me, like, really crunch it up and, you know, like, not just jam it, jam another experience in you, but actually digest the experience and, like, how did it smell and who was there and what were they wearing and to be, like, a more kind of thoughtful consumer of my experience.
And reflect. Stop
yeah.
and
yeah.
reflect.
And
on
how does it relate to the other stuff? And, you know, and
yeah.
so sometimes... You know, I'll have these entries and it's all just about, you know, how's it relate to other stuff. And sometimes it's just like just flat out recording of what what I saw, what I did, where I was, who was there. But, you know, and then I've gotten better with being kind of like the poet and the musician. I was like, I wrote a blues tune the other day. You know, it was like, holy cow, there was a blues tune in me. What if I hadn't written it down?
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't even know that I was like kind of capable of that.
Right.
And, you know, I edited a video. You know, I listened to a song and I'm like, God, this would make a great little cartoon video. And so, like, I gave myself the freedom to do that, you know, and it was so good. And it's like, God, if I could animate, that thing would be just like a monster, you know, song and a hit. Like, and people would watch it because it was just so, you know, in my imagination, it was so cool. And then I got it down on page, kind of like in the, you know, like, you know, like when Hitchcock put down every scene, you know, of a movie. I just kind of did that with the major scenes, you know, and there's like 16 of them. I'm like, this could be a thing here, you know?
Could be.
You know? But I didn't know. I didn't know until I started, like, actually doing the little micro drawings, you know, which each one was about the size of a, you know, of a phone. And anyway, it's just so cool. You know, to reveal to yourself, like, God, there's, you know, there's all these things you can do.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That you don't think you can do. And then all of a sudden, oh, God, I just did it. Now I've got to be responsible for it. Like,
and that,
like, if somebody said, well, you know, if somebody could just do this, and you're like, yeah, actually, I could.
And how that leads to the next thing and the next thing.
Well, yeah, right? you as the expanded capacity, you know, with the broader skill sets and, yeah. It's
well,
just, you know,
and
it's,
taking
it's,
a chance, you know, I got to bring that back to what it is you're doing. I mean, you're living a risky life, but clearly a very full life.
Oh, yeah.
And you're alive. I mean, you're very much alive and experimenting and taking risks of failure and so much more and just seeing what
That would be in itself a great radio show. Like, let's talk about all my failure stuff.
Oh, that's
and like
fun.
All the stuff I like. I know. And you know, and you would see like, oh, well, that's the value you've got.
Right.
You
right.
know, and that's why you do it this way and not that way. And
Then is it really a failure? You know, could we redefine that? Is it just your path of learning?
Exactly.
Because that will lead you to something else and teach you what you need to, what you are maybe meant to be doing. I believe that.
And see, and you know, and a friend was, she asked me to do this deposition the other day, you know, and it was like, I was supposed to write, I am Dan Fonts and I do this and I do that. And, you know, this is my experience of this particular experience that she needed, you know, and I'm writing it all down. And I'm realizing like, oh God, actually I just had a brain fart, so. So maybe I need to go journal.
maybe we need to listen to some music.
That'd be
good.
That'd
we
be
are
good.
About to wrap up, and
here's
I just want to.
One of my favorites. Yeah.
Well, I learned about this
group
from you, and we're gonna end the show on listening to the music. Quilis and Cloud. You had a house concert.
This was,
now I'm talking maybe 4 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
Random thing.
Had,
I'm not even
sure. Yeah, we had two concerts with those guys.
I knew Julie, your partner. I didn't know you, but you guys invited me, and I came, and it was like, wow. And it was just this kind of living room scene. You were supporting them. You should tell the story. Quilis and Cloud. They were trying to buy a car to go on a tour.
Well,
they're local musicians.
You know, their first time at our place, they'd just been suggested by a buddy named Ed. And he's like, you know, these guys are really good, and particularly Maria. She's got this voice, and I want to use her on one of my recordings. And you know, so I'm like, okay, and I listened to their stuff. And Julie and I, we always kind of listened to musicians who applied to our concerts together. And, like, within 2 or 3 seconds, it was just like, yep, or nope. You could just tell, like, this is going to be endurance, and we've had a few of those, or it's going to be, like, the best night of your life. And so we had this point of criteria where we said, you know what, let's just go with the stuff we love, and we love these guys. And it was like, they were authentic, you know, you could just, you know, I don't know. They struck us both. Anyway, so we had this, you know, we had the concert there, we had a good turnout. And they present this killer show. You know, we used to take a little 15-minute break in the middle. They'd play for about 45 minutes, come back, do another 30 minutes. And we just fell in love with them, Rory and Maria. And, you know, and here they are traveling around the country presenting their music at unusual venues, smaller venues, house concerts, you know, original tunes, no covers. We're not really into the cover thing. You know, just mainly for our friends, and our friends would sit there. You know, we got some pretty okay chairs for people to sit in. And we'd serve a little food, and, you know, we got a little patio out back. And, you know, got this nice view of Mount Tam out in the backyard, and, you know, turn the lights on. And, you know, summer night, it was just like, it was kind of magical, you know, on a kind of small scale human level. It's very, you know, it would be affecting. It's very good.
And I think I bought from them a handmade CD.
Yep.
Handmade covered. It was actually handwritten.
Huh?
As homemade as it comes.
Right.
And I cherish
right.
the CD. And I got to learn their music. And I ended up sending money for their fundraiser so they could tour, or their CD to be professionally done. And they're on their way. They're still touring. Beautiful music.
Yeah, no, they called us back a few months later, and they're like, our car broke down. Is it okay to do a fundraiser? We love your place. Can you come? You know, and we're like, yeah, hell yeah, come on back.
So they're living their dream. So before we cut to their song, I think Wide River to Cross, I think that's the one we may end the show with. That's a beautiful one. This is from the Seminole Star CD.
Yeah.
But before we go to the music, just Dan Fontes, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
My hands go together.
Yes, both of us. It's great. You know, you inspire me in so many ways. You and Julie, and
same
what you
thing.
Guys do, how you live in your community, what you're doing with your lives.
You guys, I mean, and you guys should know about Mama Gaia's book.
Oh,
you know, which right. I mean, you know, this wonderful woman has written this incredible book about all the adventures she's been on, and the ups and the downs, and it's so local. And it's so, you know, it's okay to say gritty, because it's like, you know, you're in the trenches with this person, and then you get to see, you know, the heights she gets to raise, you know, in her struggle. And it's just, it's such a beautiful book, and I've made it to about 7/8 of the way through it, and you know, and then I got the commission, and so I just couldn't, I had to put it down, unfortunately. But
I didn't know you were reading it. That's great.
Well, of course, yeah, it's a delight.
That's fun. That's so much fun.
And your films, and like what. God knows what else you're doing.
Yeah, you just, when you just take the risk, and I still feel like maybe you do. It's like every time I start a new project, I go, oh God, what am I getting myself into? But then you start writing it
and
go,
wow. When I'm painting today, I'm like going, can I do this?
Really?
I was doing some architecture. I'm like, it's not coming together the way I want it. And now I've got, it's like, it's, and you're right. It is, it's risky. And you don't give yourself a choice to not do it.
Right.
You know, once, kind of, you get the down payment check from the client. It's like, this will be done.
And you see what it creates. That's the other thing. It's not just about the money. It's
what
you see other people getting involved and how it's affecting them and getting them excited. So
yeah, no, I've had friends come in and they've been working on it, and it's just like, dang, they're good.
So where are those giraffes again for the listeners here?
Well, the giraffe, Giraffics is at 580, the 580 freeway in Oakland, at the Oakland Harrison exit.
And where can people learn more about you?
I've got a website. It's really janky, but it's at dfonts.com. And I'm working on another one. That's been like the wallpaper of my life is I'm working on another website. So it's on Squarespace. And, you know, one of these days I'll release it to the public.
Well, you're living a big life. Thank you so much, Dan Fontes, for joining us on Take Back. We'll be back next week. We're going to talk about more community efforts in Fairfax. The 40th anniversary of the Fairfax Festival is coming up, so we're going to be talking about art and community. And I'm going to thank also Dan Fontes for teaching me about this band, Quilis and Cloud. They're a San Francisco local band, and great music. Also, thanks to Stuart Horn, our executive director here at Penguin Radio. And we are wrapping up. Enjoy the music. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time.
Thanks so much. You are a delight.
Here we go. Thank you again.
Yep.
There's a sorrow in the wind going down the road I've been. I can hear it cry, my shadow steals the sun. But I cannot look back now. I've come too far to turn around, and there's still a race ahead that I must run. to journey on to where.
God.